Okay, fine. So let's start. And so tonight we are in Mitzvah, starting our next principle, which is the principle of Misasek. Misasek is going to probably be a two-week job. So we will begin this week and in Mitzvah, finish it next week. Tonight we're going to work on setting down the fundamental theory. And the next week we'll go through the Shailas. Misasek is one of these principles that's like a big Posek Shaila. We'll see next week that there are major Shailas that come up. And like they're telling you on the big time principles we're going to set down this week. So this is not like a typical day-to-day Yoredeya Shaila. These are like major Shailas that come up based on this principle. So let's get the rules down this week, and then next week we'll go through the fun stuff. So we begin with a Parsha in the Torah. Torah in Parshas Vayikra is coming up. It tells us about the various Korbanos that are brought. And one of them, as we know, is the Korban Chatas. Korban Chatas is brought when a person commits certain types of Averus B'Shogeg. So he does it by mistake, he brings a Korban Chatas. And there are different circumstances where a Korban Chatas needs to be brought. One of which is when a Nasi performs an Avera. When a Nasi performs an Avera, the leader of the generation, the leader of the Jewish people performs an Avera. So there's a special type of Korban Chatas that he brings. And the Pesukim there describe that when he brings this Korban Chatas, this Nasi, the leader, commits an Avera B'Shogeg, and he's bringing this Korban, it uses a superfluous word. Says, Ohoda Elov Chatoso Asher Chota Ba. That when he finds out about this Avera, that he sins in it, Chota Ba, then he brings a Korban Chatas. So we have a superfluous word here, the word Ba, in this Pasuk. And the Mishnah increases on Yates and Manalf, with the accompanying Gemara, is discussing what do we learn from the extra word Ba in this Pasuk. The Mishnah there in the Gemara that tell us that we learn that a person only has to bring a Korban Chatas when you do an Avera with awareness. When you're aware of the fact that you perform the Avera, then you bring a Korban Chatas. But if a person commits an Avera without awareness, then he's not going to have to bring a Korban Chatas. Chota Abba, you're aware, you're involved in this Avera, then you bring a Korban. If you're not involved because you're lacking awareness, then you're going to be Pater. This is what's known as the Ptur of Misasek. Misasek literally means you're preoccupied, means you weren't aware of the fact that you did this Avera, you're Pater from bringing a Korban Chatas. So that's the Mishnah, and the first Gemara there increases on Daf Yates. Now, if we continue on and that Gemara increases to Yates on Beis, we find something puzzling, because the Gemara Yates on Beis goes on to bring another drasha to teach us seemingly the exact same principle. The Gemara there in Yates on Beis brings Rav Nachman or Mishmul, says that if a person on Shabbos performs a malacha without awareness, you're unaware of the fact that you're performing in a malacha, so you're going to be pater. You're not going to violate the Isra Malacha because of the drasha of Malachas Machshavas. As we've been learning throughout the last few months, there's this concept that the Malachas have to be done in a professional, craftsman-like manner, in a manner of Malachas Machshavas. And as we could all appreciate, if you do a Malacha without awareness, you're not aware of the fact that you're doing the Malacha, so that's lacking the Malachas Machshavas, you're going to be pater. So we now have two drashos teaching us seemingly the exact same principle. On the one hand, we have the drasha of Ba in the parsha of Korban Chatas. This extra word Ba teaches us that if a person is lacking awareness when he does an Avera, so he is pater from bringing Korban Chatas. And then we have a second drasha in the parsha of Shabbos, which the Gemara is telling us that if a person performs an Avera on Shabbos, a Malacha on Shabbos, without awareness, you're pater, you're not violating the Isra Malacha because of the drasha of Malachas Mach Shabbos. And the big question becomes, why do we need two drashas? Why do we need two drashas to teach us the exact same principle? And specifically, Tosis in Sanhedrin on Samach Beis on Beis poses the question on the second drasha. Why would we need a second special drasha by Shabbos teaching me that if you do a malacha without awareness, you're going to be pater? When anyways, in Kol Torah Kula, the first drasha applies in Kol Torah Kula. The drasha of Ba is teaching us that any iser that you perform without awareness is going to be pater because it's misasik. So if any time I perform an avera without awareness, I'm going to be pater, that includes Shabbos. So why is the Gemara in Krisus Yitesoveh now bringing a second drasha of Malachas Machshavas to teach me that when you're lacking awareness on Shabbos, you do a malach without awareness, you're going to be pater because of Malachas Machshavas, when anyways that should be included in the first drasha? So that's the big kickoff question, just to try to put together the basic pieces of this sort of misasik. You have two drashas seemingly teaching us the exact same principle. Daniel, yeah.
Just to clarify, those two sources relate specifically, the Gemara is trying to prove Mizasek, or there's a case of Shogig? Like, because okay, those.
So So just to clarify one more time, so shogeg is the typical case where a person does an avera by mistake, and a person does an avera by mistake, he brings a korban chatas. And then we have two drashas teaching us that if you're lacking awareness, you don't have to bring a korban chatas. That's called misasik. So shogeg is going to be a different type of situation where you're not lacking awareness. You're lacking some other qualities that makes it a shogeg. But when you're specifically lacking awareness, that's called misasik. That's potter from bringing a korban chatas. And we have two drashas teaching us the exact same principle. One is the drasha in the word ba in the parsha of korban chatas. One is the drasha of malachas machshavas. Question is, why do we need both? And specifically, why do we need the second one? Why do we need a special pasuk of malachas machshavas? If anyways, Shabbos is no different than kol tara kula. Anytime you perform an aver b'misa'asek, you're going to be potter. Yeah.
Sorry to push on this, because the languages you're using are mistake versus awareness. I'm just not sure what the Gemara's language when it's trying to describe this.
Gemara calls it misa'asek. Misa'asek literally means preoccupied.
So it's just because the kind of like lack of awareness that you have on in the case of shogeg is a different kind of thing. But okay, fine.
We're going to get more specifics in a few moments.
Okay, fine.
We're trying our best here. Otherwise, if you don't use precise terms as we move on, we'll have to define things more precisely. It's a very fair point. Avram. Okay, fine. So Avram, this is exactly what we're going to do right now. So Tosis's resolution is going to touch on what Avram just touched on himself. So to solve this problem, says Tosos, he says like this, Tosin Sanhedrin Sanhbezmeve says that there are two types of situations where a person can be lacking awareness. There are two different formats by which you can do an avera bimis asik. The first format, the first situation is where a person commits an avera. The reason he's lacking awareness is because of a misinformation. There's a misconception. There's a misconception about the details of the case. That's why he commits the avera. So he has the basic awareness that he's doing an activity, but because he's misinformed about the details of the case, he has a misconception. That's why he performs the avera. So the case that comes up is like this. Let's say a person sees a knife on the ground on Shabbos, and he does this innocent activity of picking up a knife, which is perfectly permissible. But little does he know that this knife is actually a piece of vegetation. I'm not really sure how you confuse a knife with vegetation, but I don't know, whatever the case may be, maybe it's an army knife, they're trying to blend it in with the background. I don't know, but that's the case that comes up where you misjudge this object. You thought it was a knife. It really was a piece of vegetation. And when you pick it up, you now plucked it from the ground, committing the malacha of kotzer. Kotzer is one of our 39 malachos, oker davar migidulo. When you uproot something from its source of growth, that's the malacha of kotzer. So in this situation, you perform the malacha of kotzer based on a misassessment, a misconception of the situation. You thought the details were that this was a knife, that it was mutter to pick up. Really, the details are such that it was a piece of grass. And so because of this misconception, that is why you perform the aver. So that is one format of misasek. The second format is where there's a slip of the hand, where let's say a person is full aware of what he's trying to do. He has all the information correct, you know, down pat. Only problem is that while he's trying to do activity A, his hand slips. And because of the slip, that's how he commits the avera. So the case that comes up for format number two is going back to our knife on the ground. Person sees a knife on the ground, and this time he's got all of his faculties intact. He's absolutely correct. This is actually a knife. But as he goes to grab for the knife, somehow his hand slips and he plucks a blade of grass instead. And so he committed the malach of kotzer, not because of a misjudgment. There wasn't any misconception. It was just a slip of the hand. And that's how he ended up performing the avera. So you have two formats of misasik. The first format is where there's a misconception. You're misinformed on the details of the situation. That's how you perform the avera. The second format is where there's a slip of the hand, and because of the slip of the hand, that's how you end up performing the avera. Says Tosus, that's why we need the two drashos. The two drashos are talking about these two circumstances. The first drasha, the drasha of ba, which teaches that in kol tara kula, any isra that's committed by misasik is pater, is referring to the first format, where there's a misconception. In any Isra in the Torah, if you're misinformed about the situation, you misassessed the case, and you thought it was a davar hamutter, but really it was a davar ha'asar, and that's how you ended up performing the Avera, that is going to be patur as learned out from the first drasha of Ba. So that is drasha number one. But this first drasha, the patur in Kol HaTorah Kula, does not include a case of a slip of the hand. If in all any other Isser in the Torah, aside from Shabbos, we're trying to get to, if in any other Isser a person slips, and that's why he performs an Avera, but due to a slip of the hand, he does something Usser, that is not included in the Ptur of Ba. That is considered to be a regular Shogeg, still a mistake. It's not the worst Avera in the world, but it's considered to be a regular Shogeg. You do need to bring a Karban. In Kol Torah Kula, if there's a slip of the hand, a person does need to bring a karban. It is not excluded from the Torah of Misasik. Misasik only applies when there's a misconception. So that is all format number one. The first drush of Ba is pottering you when in Kol Torah Kula, whenever there is a misconception. Moving over to the second drasha. The second drasha of Lachas Machshavas, says Tosos, is needed for the second format. When on Shabbos, if you're a person is trying to do an activity which is mutter, and he has a slip of the hand, and because his hand slips, he ends up plucking a blade of grass or flipping a light switch. So because of a flip of the hand, he commits an avera, a slip of the hand, he does an avera by accident on Shabbos, that is where we have the drasha of Malachas Machshavas. In Kol Torah Kula, that's going to be a regular shogeg. You're doing something wrong, inadvertently, but it's still considered to be a regular avera. You have to bring a karban chatas. On Shabbos, if there's a slip of the hand, there's a special drash of Malachas Machshavas to teach us that that's going to be putter because of the special parameters of the Isra Malach. So this is all our kickoff to the principle of Misasek. But, you know, in order to handle the shayles, you first have to know the basic Yisodos. And we're introducing the two basic drashas. We have two drashas to teach us the principle of Misasek. We have the drasha of Ba in the parsha of Karban Chatas and Kol Torah Kula. We have the drasha of Malachas Machshavas. Tosas asked, why do we need both drashas? And he's answering that they're two different formats, two different types of scenarios where you're lacking awareness. The first format is where there's a misconception. You're misinformed on the information at hand. That's Pater in Kol Torah Kula. In Kol Torah Kula, if an Avera is committed due to a misinformation, that's going to be considered to be misasik, and it's Pater no matter what the Isser is. The second drasha is for a slip of the hand. In Kol Torah Kula, if a person's hand slips, it's a regular shogeg, it was an Avera, you have to bring a Korban Chakas. On Shabbos, it's a special drash of Malachas Machshavas. If there's a slip of the hand, you're pater based on Malachas Machshavas. And that's why we need a special drasha of Malachas Machshavas. Was that, we good? Okay, one thumbs up, whatever. I'll take what I can get. Yeah, Yvonne, Daniel.
I'm just curious, just if within that first framework, with those Gemaras and Makos regarding like the guys chopping the axe and the blade slips off the thing, would that also fall into this? Like, that's okay, why that's so shogeg?
100%. So, you know, Daniel is referring to the second parak of Makos where we discuss when a person's chayv golos for doing certain, you know, killing some bishogeg. So certainly we're setting on fundamental categories of shkaga, and we have to figure out, you know, how to apply them in different parshas in Torah. But Baruch Hashem, you're well, you know, more advanced than we are right now. Yeah. That's something I have a question. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's also, it's like Talmud 104 right now. Let's work on 101. It's a good question. Yeah, Mordechai.
I don't know if today's Shabbos is Misasik.
Okay. That is a really good question. I just, I'm afraid it's just too complicated to answer that question. There's a Tosfos increase, a Tosfos Beis, that addresses this very issue about how to define there's in Shogeg versus Misasik. You know, a lot of classic Shkagas seem to be lacking misinformation, let's say. So that's a very good question. I don't want to overdo it. You know, Stamazai, when he starts talking about Korban Chatas, increases, you know, people get scared. So if we do too much, I'm afraid. Rav Parnas said that one year they were learning Psachim and he took a vote if the guys wanted to try doing Tamid Nishchat. Tamid Nishchat is Kadshim Sugyas. So like, you know, you hear a brisk. So the Chevra voted that year that they're going to do Kadshim. He said that he lost two-thirds of this year. Two-thirds of this year dropped out. It's just... It's intriguing, but once you start doing it, it's a nitty gritty. Okay, fine. Okay, so now we come to part two of today's shiur, and this is where the real fireworks begin. The big issue, the real big issue, and in Emirat Hashem we'll see, there's a tremendous halachal ma'aseh that comes out of this, is the question of what is the exact status of an avera performed by misasik. We have these two formats of misasik, misconception from the drasha of Ba. We have a slip of the hand from Malachas Machshavas. If a person performs an Avera in one of these different manners, what's the exact standing of that Avera? Was it a real Avera? Was it not Avera? What's the exact standing of an Avera committed b'misasik? No, but we're just saying if a person did an Avera in one of these two manners, what's the exact status of that type of Avera? Daniel?
Can you just be more clear, like Lamai Nafkamina?
We're going to see tremendous Nafkamina Zalacha come out of this. Major Shailas, big time Shailas. But we have to first, let's just go in steps. Hopefully it'll clarify the question. So we have in this a big time famous machloks between Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Nesivos. Two approaches in the Achronim, how to tight up, how to weigh in on how to analyze the tour of Mishase. So let's start with Shita number one, the Shita of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger is in the Shilas and Shuvas and Simon Ches, and he this is like super heavy duty famous stuff here. And he draws a conclusion on this issue from a Gemara in Baba Kama on Chavav Amin Beis. So let's move over to the Gemara in Baba Kama for a few moments and Chavav Amin Beis and see how Rabbi Akiva Eiger takes this Gemara and he shoots off into the sky on how to understand the principle of Misase. Gemara in Baba Kama on Chavav Amin Beis, and I'm certain that Daniel Fried is not going to let me get very far with this, but I'll do my best. Gemara in Baba Kama on Chavav Amin Beis brings up the following situation. The case is where a person is sitting on Shabbos, and unbeknownst to him, there is a rock on his lap. How did it get there? Maybe he was sleeping, he was taking a nap, and somehow this rock fell onto his lap. And I get maybe people were throwing stones for people, you know, for Shabbos transgressions, and it got a little bit too far and landed on this guy's lap. I don't know what the situation was. And he stands up, and he unknowingly propels this stone forwards and performs a melacha with it. Let's say he's sitting right next to Shisha Rabim. He stands up. He had no idea that this stone was on his lap. He propels the stone forwards. He now transferred it from Shisha Yacha to Shisha Rabim, let's say, and he performed the melacha of Hotsa. Says the Gemara, he's going to be Pater. He's not going to violate the melacha of Hotsa because it's lacking in melachas machshavas. In this situation, he didn't have awareness that he was propelling the stone. It's lacking melachas machshavas. He is going to be Pater. That is the innocent Gemara in Bava Kama on Chavav Amud Beis. Comes along with Akiva Eiger, and he's bothered by the following question. He says, in this situation, when the person had absolutely no knowledge that he had a stone on his lap, he had no knowledge that he's propelling the stone and doing Malachas Hatzah, which of the two formats of Misasig does this fit into? Does it fit into format number one of misconception? Does it fit into format number two of a slip of the hand? Akiva Eiger says that he feels that it fits under both formats, that this is subject to both Peturim of Misase. Why? So starting with format number one of misconception. So we have this drasha of Ba, which teaches us if you do an Avera due to a misconception, you're going to be Pater. Says Akiva Eiger that in this case, he had absolutely no information whatsoever that he was doing any activity at all. So Yesh B'chlal Masai Mana, that if you have no idea at all what you're doing, that's the ultimate misconception. If a person has a basic awareness, just he's lacking some basic detail, if that's called a misconception, well, then in this case, he doesn't even know there's a rock on his lap. He doesn't know he's propelling it. That's the ultimate misconception. He feels that this should be subject to the Ptur of Ba. So this is subject to format number one. Now, we also have format number two. When there's a slip of the hand, your hand slips and you do an Avera. So we have a specialized drush on Shabbos. Melachas Machshavas, you're going to be Pater. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, this also has the second format. Listen, this is also like a slip of the hand. He's just standing up. He's not aware of what's going on. He propels this rack forwards. It also has format number two. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger kicks off his tshuva. He feels that this case has both formats. We have format number one. It's the ultimate misconception. You have no awareness at all what you're doing. We have format number two, a slip of the hand. And so it has both Torah. Therefore, he's bothered by the following question. He wants to know, why did the Gemara tell me that the reason of Pater is because it's lacking in Melachas Machshavas when we have a more fundamental reason? Melachas Machshavas is just a specialized Ptur in Hilchos Shabbos. On Shabbos, so format number two, it's a slip of the hand, there's a special Ptur of Misa'asi. But we have format number one, which is by all Isur. Format number one tells us that by any Isur, if you're lacking basic information, there's a misconception, you're going to be Pater. Well, in this situation, we have this Kol HaTorah Kula Ptur of Misase. So why did the Gemara give a specialized Ptur? There's a special drush on Shabbos that you're Pater in this situation when you propel the stone, when you also have formula number one, which is a Ptur in all these Surim, learned out from the drasha of Ba. So that is where Akiva Eiger's Kasha on this Gemara.
he is subject to both Torah, because he's asking why is it Lachas Man Shabbos when you have the drasha of Daniel.
I mean, I don't know what the Rukiyak answers, but aren't there like two ways of like at least addressing the problem? One is to say, I think the simple answer is, well, the Gemara is answering that which is relevant to Shabbos. Like Lachas Man Shabbos is the practical application, the practical rule that that defines awareness on Shabbos. So we just said Lachas Man Shabbos because that's the simple thing. Potentially a more fancy or lumdish answer is to say that maybe Lachas Man Shabbos is actually a unique application of Misasek that is unique to Shabbos. And therefore, it bypasses some of that's why the Gemara focuses on that, because it's the unique application of Misasek on Shabbos.
Okay, so I want to point these things out, and just we don't have a big screen here, but Josh Eisenberg gave a thumbs up to Daniel Fried's answer here. So we have two people who like this answer. Okay. So everyone just everyone should be informed. So that's very good methodology. We're gonna use what you said in the Nesivos. I'm gonna refer back to what you said when we get to the Nesivos. But for Kefigas, there's something else. Yeah.
I don't know if this answers, but I mean, it happens to be it does sit well with me, the answer that it's the ultimate misconception. But just to kind of cause trouble, maybe you could say that it's specifically referring to a case where you have some knowledge. If you have some knowledge and you utilize that knowledge to the best of your abilities, and then you it turns out you were wrong, it's very different than where you sort of carelessly do something you don't have any knowledge
of. Okay, so Raparnas wanted to give that exact answer to this question. He was bothered by certain issues of the sugya. So he said exactly what Yonah just said. He wanted to question whether Kivegar's assumption was correct, that we should apply the first format in the situation. But Kivegar applies it. So right. I'm on your side, based on my rabbi, but we're presenting Kivegar. So, yeah, Penny.
Why is it pucker? Why is it? If it's with Yemen and you know exactly why the
pucker. So we're going to touch on that a little bit right now. Okay, fine. So let's present Kivegar's answer. So Kivegar says like this. He says that to answer this question, we're going to make a fundamental distinction between the two formats of Misasek. When it comes to the first format of Misasek, where there's a misconception, the drasha of Ba teaches us, in Kolotar Rekula, you do an avera due to a misconception, you're pater. Says Rebbe Kivegar, what that means is that you don't have to bring a carbon katas, that it's a diluted avera, and so you're pater from bringing carbon katas, but it's still considered to be a maisa avera. You did something wrong. If you do an avera due to a misconception in Kol Tarakula, so it's a very diluted avera, you're part of bringing a karban, but it is still considered to be a maisa avera. You did something wrong. You're going to have to ask for a kapara. You need kapara for that avera. And that fits in well with the makor for this first tour. What's the source for this first drush, for this first tour? The drush of Ba. The drush of Ba taught us that when there's a misconception, you're going to be part. That drush was just talking about korban chatas. It was just saying that although generally you bring a carbon contest mishogeg, but Ba, if it's done the misasek, you have a misconception, don't bring a carbon contest. It never said that you didn't do anything wrong. It never said it was an innocent activity. So Cesar Kivegar, it's not an innocent act. It's a mais avera, just you're going to be putter from bringing a carbon contest. Let me just finish the presentation and we'll stop. So fine. So that was format number one. Moving over to format number two, the second format of where there's a slip of the hand, and we have the drasha of Malachas Machshavas that tells us that you're potter, says Rebbe Kivegar, that's not considered to be a Maisa Avera at all. The drasha of Malachas Machshavas is teaching us when you're lacking in Malachas Machshavas, that takes away the whole characterization as a Malacha. It's not considered to be a Malacha. It's not considered to be a Maisa Avera. It's not just pshat that you're potter from Karban. When there's a slip of the hand on Shabbos, it's not a Maisa Avera whatsoever. It's a perfectly innocent activity. So this is Rebbe Kivegar's fundamental distinction. He says that when it comes to the format number one, in Kol Tarakula, the drasha of Ba is telling me when there's a misconception, you are doing something wrong, just it's very diluted, don't bring a carbon factor. When it comes to the second format, on Shabbos, if there's a slip of the hand, it's a perfectly innocent activity, it's not a mice avera whatsoever, you're not just plucked from bringing a carbon, it is a zero, it's perfectly permissible. So to plug that in now to this Gemara, so that's how he wants to solve this question. It says like this, that in this situation, when the person has no idea that this rock is on his lap, he stands up and he propels it forward. You're right, it's subject to both formats. It's putter because of the drasha of Ba. It's putter because of Malachas Machshavas. Why did the Gemara invoke the specialized form Malachas Machshavas? If anyways, it's putter because of the drasha of Ba. Cedric Kivegar,
because the drasha of Lechaz Machshavas is a more potent drasha. When it comes to the first drasha of Ba, that just teaches me that you're potter from bringing a carbon chakras. If we just had the first drasha, so we would tell this person who's standing up and pulling the stone, that listen, you don't have to bring a carbon chakras, but you did do an aver, you did a maisa aver, because that's all we know from the drasha of Ba. But the second drasha, Lechaz Machshavas, is more fundamental. That drasha teaches us that it's not an avera whatsoever. When this person repels the stone, so now based on the second drasha, we say to the guy, actually, you don't have to feel bad whatsoever. You did a perfectly innocent activity. The second drasha from the slip of the hand, Lechaz Machshavas Eir Pater, that teaches us that it's a perfectly innocent activity. You don't need kapara whatsoever. That's why the Gemara invoked the second tour, because the second tour is more fundamental. So this is all shita number one, the shita of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, this is like big time fireworks famous stuff here. Akiva Eiger is setting down a fundamental distinction between the performance of Misasek, which he's bringing out through this Gemara Bava Kamma. Bottom line of Akiva Eiger is, format number one, whole Torah Kula, misconception, it is a Maisa Avera, doing something wrong, just your putter for bringing carbon katas. Format number two, on Shabbos, if there's a slip of the hand, it's a perfectly innocent act. You do not need to do any tshuva. You don't need to have kapara. You don't have to feel bad whatsoever. It's perfectly permissible. And he's using this distinction to explain the Gemara of Bava Kamma, why the Gemara invoked the Ptur Malachas Machshavas, but it also had the Ptur of Ba. Okay. Any questions? Danielle?
Yeah, this might just be ignorance on my part, but Malachas Machshavas has many different applications, like Malachas Shein Kugufa, or that's not the Kavana, right? Does the inference that we're applying here, that there's not even a Vera involved, does that apply to those as well? Let's say according to Rav Shimon,
Excellent question. We actually discussed this in the first Chabura of this man. We'll see if we'll touch on that a little bit. The general assumption of the acronym is that we start out assuming they're all the same until we get stiras, and then we make distinctions. So that's the general methodology of the acronym, that we assume that it's all the same. Once we have stiras, then we make distinctions. But it's a very good question.
I guess I'm not sure how you're answering based on that. Are you saying that it's true across the board that there's no maisa vera when it comes to
it would be true across the board based on Rav Akiva Eiger. It seems to be Rav Akiva Eiger's holding. It's never maisa vera in any form of malachas machshavas. That would be the starting assumption. If we get stiras, then we make resolutions.
So pater abalasar, whenever it's applied in Hilchos Shabbos, only be shogeg.
Well, it will still be also the Ravan. Okay. Let's build this up. Right now, I'm saying there's no derises right now. Discussing derises right now.
No derises, right.
Okay.
We'll have to fill it up. Yeah.
I just want to continue because I want to make sure we get to the halacha lines a little bit this week. So just moving over to the sheets of the Nesivas. The Nesivas says very differently than Rav Akiva Eiger. It's brought down in the Mekor Chaim. He has a sefer on Hilchos Pesach. And the Nesivas in the Mekor Chaim writes that really Misasik is always the same. There's no distinction between the two formats. It's never considered to be a Maisa Avera. It's a perfectly innocent activity. That an Avera committed by Misasik is a perfectly innocent act, whether it's format number one, whether it's format number two. So in format number one, where there's a misconception, it's a perfectly innocent act. It's not a maisa avera, nothing wrong whatsoever. You're not just putter from bringing a carbon. You're not doing anything wrong whatsoever. And he agrees with format number two as well. If you're lacking malachas machshavas, so once again, that's also not going to be considered to be a maisa avera. So this is now the shita of the Nesivas, who's maintaining that there is no distinction between two formats. It's never considered to be a maisa avera. Now, in terms of how the Nesivas would address the Gemara Bava Kamma, so I'm not going to spend time on that just because of the shortness of time, but then you'll presented a few solutions to that to lab daf for the Gemara, and these are all viable ideas. The Gemara is discussing Shabbos. He wanted to suggest maybe it brought up Malachim HaShabbos because discussing Shabbos. There are technical answers to this question, but it's really not so nogeya, and they're more important issues we have to get to. So we're not going to focus on how he addressed the Gemara Bava Kamma, but we are going to focus on a big raya that is brought against the Shita of the Nesivas. So we just presented the Machlokes of Kegah versus the Nesivas, and after taking Ben Kalish's question, we will then discuss a raya that's brought to the Shita of Rav Akiva against the Nesivas. Yeah. Okay, so this is a good question. Also, what's the same as Asik versus in Miskavin? Pashup Shot is that in Miskavin is where you're initially aware ahead of the time about all the eventualities. You're going through with it. Whereas Miskavin is a post facto idea where you just think post facto, we have to know in retrospect, you have to bring carbon practice, or did you do something wrong? You have to
you know, get tshuva. And that's the simple distinction. So, okay, so these issues have to be discussed. I just can't do it right now, but it's a very good question. It's a fair question.
Sure.
Yeah, fine, maybe. Okay. Prom's on a Thursday. If you guys want to go for it. The only problem is that I feel like if I don't know, nighttime, people are sober. Fine. So the raya that's brought against the nesivas is like this. The Kivager brings the following raya against the nesivas, which is a very important detail because it's going to finish off the sheet of the nesivas. He brings a raya from a Tosis Rosh in Pesach. So we're moving over now to Hilchos Pesach. I guess 50 Yom Kod Machag, I don't know, whatever. We were in Hilchos Pesach here. So we know on Pesach we have to get rid of our chametz before Pesach. Why do we get rid of our chametz before Pesach? So there are a lot of different Isurim and mitzvot involved, but two of the major Isurim are what's referred to as Bal Yira and Bal Yimatzeh. Bal Yira and Bal Yimatzeh are two Isurim deraisa to possess chametz on Pesach. If you're in possession of chametz on Pesach, you're violating Isur number one, Bal Yira, and Isur number two, Bal Yimatzeh. So that's, you know, one of our major reasons why we're getting rid of our chametz before Pesach. Now, there's a big discussion in the Rishonim as to if you violate these Isurim, if you possess chametz without awareness. If you're not aware of the fact that there's chametz in your possession, do you violate the Isurim of Bal Yira and Bal Yimatzeh? This is what's called chametz she'enu yadua. You were not aware of the fact that there was chametz in your possession, so you violate these Isurim. So the Tosfos Rosh in Pesachim on Chof Aleph Chof Aleph writes that you do. Yeah, who cares about the fact you're not aware that it was in your possession. L'maisa, you owned chametz. L'maisa, you did something wrong. It was an avera. Now it's true. It wasn't done deliberately. It wasn't amazed because the person wasn't aware about it. But we'll call it a shogeg. The person did an avera. A shogeg, he did something wrong. Just it wasn't the most sinister avera on the books. That is what the Tosfos Rosh writes in Pesachim. Comes along Rav Kivager and he says, let's analyze this situation. In this case, we have a case where a person has no awareness that there is chametz in his possession. Well, he has no awareness that there's chametz in his possession. Why is the Tosfos Rosh saying that he did something wrong, that it's like a shogeg, it's an inadvertent act, it's an avera, just inadvertent, when this should be a case of misaseh? He has no awareness about the fact that this is in his possession. This should be a subject to the p'tur of misaseh. Now, says Rabbi Kivager, that according to me, there's no problem. Because I maintain that misasik is considered to be a maisa avera. When it comes to the first format of misasik in Kol Tarakula, if a person does an avera due to a misconception, so it's considered to be a maisa avera doing something wrong. It's just a diluted maisa avera. You're part of her being carbon chakas, but you're doing something wrong. Well, in this situation, where you have no awareness at all about the fact that there's chametz in your possession, so he treats this as, the ultimate misconception once again. You have no awareness at all that the chametz is in your possession, but l'maisa, it's still considered to be a maisa avera. When a person does a misaseh, according to Rabbi Kivager, it's still a maisa avera. So I understand the Tosfos Rosh according to me. But according to the Nesivos, I have a kasha. The Nesivos says that any avera done by misaseh is never considered to be a maisa avera. It's always considered to be perfectly innocent. Well, then in this situation, why is the Tosfos Rosh saying that a person who possesses chametz she'enu yadua without awareness is doing something wrong? According to the Nesivos, it should be perfectly permissible. That is the kasha of Rabbi Kivager. We are short on time here, so I apologize, but we're going to have to stop questions. Okay. So the Nesivos himself addresses this issue, and he gives a fancy schmancy answer to this question. The Nesivos says like this. He says that there's a fundamental distinction between the Isurim of Bal Yira and Bal Yimatzeh in contrast to other Isurim in the Torah. When it comes to many other Isurim in the Torah, so they're violated through inactivity. You need to do a Maisa, you need to do an activity in order to violate the Isur. That is typically what happens when it comes to other Isurim, eating non-kosher, so you eat something, you do an act, you're doing a Maisa. When it comes to Bal Yira and Bal Yimatzeh, the Isra of possessing chametz on Pesach, that is not violated through inactivity. You don't do a Maisa to violate this Avera. It's violated B'Shei Val Tasa, passively.
the passive state of being in possession of chametz is what violates the avera. You're not doing an activity, just the fact that you have this in your possession, that reality, that state of being is the avera. Says the Nesivos, when I contend that Mis'asik is perfectly permissible, that it's not a Maisa Avera, that's only when it comes to Isurim committed through an act. When you do an activity to perform the Avera, and you did it by Mis'asik, then I consider it like it was never performed. I don't attribute that activity to you. You're not aware about the fact that you're doing an activity. It's like you didn't do it. It's permissible. But when it comes to an Avera that's not performed by an activity, when it comes to owning chametz on Pesach, which isn't violated by doing an activity, it's just a state of being. So even though you're misasek, even though you're lacking awareness, I don't apply my p'tur. In this case, you're not going to have the p'tur of misasek. It's going to be an iser. So that is the Nesivos' famous answer to this question. He makes a razzle-dazzle distinction, limitation, to answer the kasha of Rav Kiveger. He says that the p'tur of misasek only applies, although he does contend that it's perfectly innocent, it only applies to averas that involve activities. But when it comes to averas that do not involve activities, he does not apply the p'tur of misasek. So I just want to quickly summarize what we've done so far. We basically finished all the principles of misasek. We're ready for the halacha l'maisa. So we have 6 minutes left. So I'll spend 90 seconds just summarizing what we have done today. And then we'll end with one shayla for this week. And the next week in Mirtashim, we'll go to more fancy shaylas. So just to summarize, in part one, we kicked off the basic rules of misasek. There are two formats of misasek. Format number one is where there's a misconception that is pater and kol terakula, learned from the drasha of ba. Format number two is where there's a slip of the hand. That's only pater on Shabbos based on drasha of lachas mach Shabbos. In part two, we raise the question of what exactly is the status of an avera done by misasek. So Rukibeger feels that there's a distinction. By format number one, when there's a misconception, the drush of ba, that is a maisa avera, doing something wrong, just your pater from bringing a karba. When it comes to format number two, where there's a slip of the hand, that's an innocent act, it's perfectly permissible on Shabbos. And the Sivas argues and says that misasek is never a maisa avera, it's never problematic, whether it's format one, format number two, misconception, slip of the hand, it's all perfectly permissible, you don't need kabara whatsoever. So that's the base of machlokas and Sivas for Kiveger. In part three, we now had Rukveger's big kasha on the Nesivos. But what are you going to do about Bali Rabbi Matzei? If you are unaware that you own chametz on Pesach, why are you doing something wrong? As the Tosafot Rashi says, you're unaware. And the Nesivos responded that there's a distinction between Bali Rabbi and most other Yisurim. By most other Yisurim, you have to do an activity. That's when I say it's innocent activity. It's an innocent act if the Avera comes about through a Maisa. But when it comes to Bali Rabbi, where you violate it based on possessing the chametz, based on a state of being, I don't apply the form as asik, it's going to be problematic. Fine, so let's just go through one shayla for the rest of today's share, and then next week we'll go to the more major shaylas. Following shayla comes up in the postgame. We know that nowadays, whenever you open a refrigerator, most refrigerators, so there's a lot of cool mechanisms that go off whenever you open the fridge, and so it has to be disabled before Shabbos. Back in the day, it used to be the Heliga light bulb. But nowadays, there's a lot of other cool highfalutin features that go off when you open the fridge. And so we have to, most refrigerators have to be disabled in some shape or form before Shabbos. So the big question becomes like this. Let's say it's your job in the household to disable the fridge before Shabbos. You are the person who has the job of putting the fridge onto Shabbos mode, unscrewing the light bulb. However, you're going to contend with this foe of the electronic mechanism that's going to go off when you open the fridge. And let's say you forget to do your job before Shabbos. You go to shul, and as you're having a long Karl Bach Lechadodi, you have time to contemplate the mysteries of the universe. And amongst the different thoughts that you're thinking about, aside from the Chazanis, is the fact that you forgot to unscrew the light bulb before Shabbos, or you forgot to put the fridge onto Shabbos mode. So the following shayla comes up in the postgame. Are you obligated to inform the other members of your household? The other members of your household are not going to realize necessarily that the fridge was not deactivated. All week long, by rote, they're opening and closing the fridge. They're not thinking about the fact that it's on Shabbos mode. And so if you don't inform them, they're not going to be aware of the fact that they're opening and closing the fridge and they're setting off all the electric mechanisms in the refrigerator. So are you obligated to inform them of the fact that the fridge was not deactivated? Why wouldn't you have to inform them? Lechora, you know, as soon as you get home and you see the other members of the household open and close the fridge, they're about to do an avera. They're about to open and close the fridge, they're doing something wrong. So the argument to be makel is the avera that they're doing is done by misaseh. They are unaware of the fact that they're opening and closing the fridge, meaning that their activity is triggering this light bulb. They're not aware of the fact that it's not on Shabbos mode. They think that they're doing an innocent activity. And so maybe based on the Torah of misaseh, we can argue that we don't have to inform the other members of the household. Now, just to plug that into Rabbi Kveger and the Nesivas. So according to the Shita of the Nesivas, Nesivas' Shita is that any avera committed by misaseh is always considered to be perfectly innocent, whether it's format number one, whether it's a misconception, whether it's format number two, where there's a slip of the hand, misaseh is always perfectly permissible. So according to the Nesivas, they shook them out, that there's no reason for me to inform the other members of the household. When they open and close this fridge, they're doing nothing wrong. They're unaware of the fact that they are turning on and off this light bulb, let's say. They're not thinking about it. It's a perfectly innocent act. There should be no need to inform the other members of the household. And the Orech HaShabbos points out that even according to Rabbi Kveger, there's an argument to say that this should also be perfectly permissible. Because Rabbi Kveger had told us that when it comes to the second format, where there's a slip of the hand, when you do the avera due to a slip of the hand, so it's lacking the melachas machshavas, it's considered to be a perfectly innocent activity. It's not a ma'isa avera. The Orech HaShabbos and other achronim assume that this should be subject to the second Torah because, like we saw from the Gemara in Bava Kamma, when you have no awareness whatsoever what you're doing, when you absolutely have no idea about the fact that there's a stone in your lap that you're propelling, you have no idea that there's a light bulb in the fridge that's going on and off. You're not thinking about it. You're not aware about it. So they feel that that's subject to all the Peturim, misconception, slip of the hand, all the Peturim apply when you have no awareness whatsoever. And so the Orech HaShabbos feels that even according to Rabbi Kveger, this would be a perfectly permissible act. I apologize for the question, just we're closer time-wise. So the argument can be built that maybe it should be permissible not to inform the other members of the household. According to the Nesivas, it's perfectly permissible. It's clearly permissible. It's any misasik is always mutter. According to Rabbi Kveger, the Orech HaShabbos wants to claim that this would be subject to the Torah of slip of the hand, which I'm sure the Chevra would like to question that, so we'll discuss that over zingers. But whatever the case may be, that's the argument to be made. Now, the Nesivas Shalom brings down, I'm not quoting the famous Chassidus Sefer, it'd be very impressive to get a Nesivas Shalom in the same shear as Kveger. That'd be high, whatever. But it's a different Nesivas Shalom, less impressive. The Nesivas Shalom, which is written by one of the authors of Orech HaShabbos, he brings down that there are a number of poskim, Mori Hara, who accept this heter to not inform the other members of the household, and they take the heter a step weiter. That he brings down that a number of Mori Hara poskins, that not only do you not need to inform the other members of the household, you can even ask them to get you something from the fridge. You can ask one of the other members to get you some refrigerator because they're not aware of what they're doing. They're doing a perfectly innocent act. What is wrong with me asking them to open the fridge? They're doing something that's perfectly permissible. I apologize for the questions. It's perfectly permissible. No need to inform them. Perfectly mobile. That is the shita of the Nesivas Shalom. He's makel on the Shaila based on Rabbi Kveger and the Nesivas and based on, assuming that this is subject to all the term that we described. Just to finish off the issue, so the Orech HaShabbos and the Mishnah Rabbi Aaron are machmer on the Shaila. The Orech HaShabbos and the Mishnah Rabbi Aaron accept all the above analysis on a deraisa level. They accept all the analysis, the deraisa is perfectly permissible, but they feel that there's going to be an issur derabanan. This touches on the points that Daniel brought up before, that a lot of times when you do malach lacking malachas machshavas, although it's mutter on a deraisa level, it's typically asur derabanan by mekalkel, by malach hashem shrich legufa, all the different principles we've had in the past that are lacking malachas machshavas are mutter mederaisa, but are still asur mederabanan. Rabbi Aaron Cutler and the Mishnah Rabbi Aaron and the Orech HaShabbos both feel that although everything we said is correct, it's perfectly permissible, that's true midaraiso, but it's still going to be usher midarabanan. And so they paskin that it would be usher to stand back and to let them open the refrigerator. Certainly you can't ask them to get you something from the fridge, but you can't even stand back passively and watch them open the fridge because of this Issur d'Rabbanan where you have to get up and protest in order to save them from doing this Issur d'Rabbanan. So this is an interesting shayla that comes out based on these principles, the shayla of opening a fridge on Shabbos, if they're lacking awareness. So the post want to contend that it's perfectly permissible midaraisa, would there be an Issur d'Rabbanan? So there's machlokes achronim here on that issue. Shkai.
Hi.
No.
Nope.
Happy Shabbos. If you want to call me, I'm available. Yeah.
Great.
Can't you say that this is different?
Good to see you, Josh.
Good to see you, Shkayach.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks.